Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi guys, we're back in Cape Town for Box Office. For the next 7 weeks, we're going to be covering Six Nations. We want to be the only show in world rugby with no bias, no agenda, no nonsense. We'll be giving you our opinion, our insights on the games during the Six Nations. The Box Office is now open. Welcome back to the Box Office. We're out here at Bishop's, the great Bishop's School. But let me introduce the guests so far. Brad Barrett, Skulk Brits, and JDV. How's it going, boys?
Did you just say the great Bishop's School?
Yeah, my son's a school
here. Yeah, you want some discount.
Your son's here at the junior school. Am I right, eh?
Yeah, it's just started at the prep.
Yeah.
Three.
Memories ever played here?
Never played here. I think my older brother came here, so I remember coming on a sporting tour, tagging along as the younger brother, but never got the privilege to play on these hallowed turf.
How many points did you win by here?
Well, we never lost.
Okay.
So saying that, it was good. It was a good hunting ground, I would say.
I want to come back to, do you not feel like a traitor?
Why?
Because you went to Ronnebosch, Shimmy. I mean, all those Ronnebosch boys watching.
Where was I before Ronnebosch?
I'm just stating.
I don't know where you were before that. But I mean, do you not feel like a traitor?
No, no.
So do you so you decided
I'm Ronnebosch, my son's at Bishop's. I was at Bishop's, hold on. I learned how to play rugby at Bishop's, and it was perfected at Ronnebosch. I learned right just this field across the road there. My first rugby game was across there.
Bobes. Oh, wow.
And we never lost to Paul Jim. Well, in matric. 95. We smashed Paul Jim by 3 points to nil in the rain. It was the one win we had.
Yeah. So,
let's talk about your experiences here, because you're asking me a lot of questions.
Yes.
How did it go?
Happy New Year, Shimmy.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Looking good. Skylar, how's your year? Let's talk about the holidays before we get to the school.
So many questions. I can't answer them.
They were fantastic.
Is it?
We were.
I heard you're walking up and down the beach in the morning. It's like Barack Obama waving at everybody. Everybody knew Skulk was at Full Clip Beach.
Perfecting that term.
He said he's going to come and visit, and it was empty promises. Luckily, I had John Smith there that actually I was just walking behind him. He greeted everyone, and I was behind him.
Okay.
But it was lekker.
Hookers stick together, eh?
100%.
George Gregan pulled into town?
Oh, there you go.
How dodgy is that guy's golf? So I thought, okay, I'll take my Aussie friend, a guy that I hated watching, always beat the, well, not always, but most of the time was the thorn in our flesh. Yeah. And then I thought I'll challenge him to a round of golf in Armanis Golf Club. And I think he shot 2 or 3 under off a 6 handicapper. Needless to say, he took my money, gave me some balls as a thank you gift. But yeah, I'll invite him again and try to sort him out and sort out his handicap. Though.
And Kersney is the breeding ground for England rugby players. You and Matt Steve, what's going on?
You know, it's
What did we do wrong to you guys?
It's just one of those schools that opens you up to the big bad world.
Yeah?
But there's also been a few Springboks, the Duprees in the most recent times.
Yeah.
Three brothers out
no,
of
no,
one.
No, no, no. But we're talking about you and Matt there. You guys left us. Well, how did it all happen?
And Saracens.
It's a very long, complicated story, but essentially all my grandparents are English. I was very close to going to Bath Uni straight out of school. Got offered a contract, spent sort of 2 weeks there, and I probably picked the wrong time of year. I think everyone who wants to move to the UK, go between July and September. I made the great decision to go train for 2 weeks in December. It was snowing. I didn't have wet weather gear. It was an absolute disaster. So sort of reversed, came back to the Sharks. It was a great time. Sort of Dick Muir had taken over. There were some new players coming through and had three great seasons. But there'd always been this sort of desire to go to the UK and finish my studies and do a sort of postgraduate there.
And okay. Jimmy, you must have a look at John, and John Smith was the love child of Jake White. So I had to go abroad, Brad had to go abroad, and so we had to play in a different
place. I like how I turned the story towards him. I mentioned the towards new boys, and then all of a sudden it goes back. It always goes back to Skull Pritz and I.
That is not
true. I just turned it around quickly.
That's why we ended at Saracen.
Tell us more about you.
Yeah.
Enough about us.
Karen, we'll give you 5 minutes, just leave it
out. That's backfired completely. Yeah. Let me have a sip of the beer.
I actually saw Matt Stevens at Giovanni's.
Is he hungry?
Yeah, as if he was at Giovanni's. So I just saw this back there, and he was busy ordering food, but it was good to see him, though.
Big Bear, no, what a man to have at a party. Mm. A great story I had, we actually had a testimonial a few years ago, and I think I'd promised to have some players at a barbecue and probably left it too late and called on Matt, a real buddy. He was the same year as my brother at school, so I've known Matt since he was sort of 6 years old. Said, Matt, I really need you here. There are a bunch of musicians. They're coming for a bri. They're expecting some great entertainment. Obviously, you know, to get Matt first to answer his phone is difficult enough, but eventually I get him there. India's lovely wife, and Matt has them in the garden 2 a.m. singing Zulu war cries from Kersney back in the day. So they had the best time of their life. Needless to say, they keep asking me for Matt's number for any time he comes over to the UK. So if you need someone as entertainment and good fun, you know, Matt's your man.
He is good entertainment, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Matt's
most fun drinkers are.
Yeah, but when
Here comes a chirp.
I won't disagree with that. And it's not a chirp at all. And I think a lot of people don't know, Matt still played Western Province under 21 with us.
Mm. Yeah.
Or was he the same year as you? Okay.
He's a year younger.
Yeah.
But played with us and then kind of made the switch from there. And it's like, you know, even coming back to the decision for the two of them to go to Saris, you kind of look at where your opportunities are. That's the beauty 100%. Of professional rugby now. You know, if you have those options, you know, for the two of you to have spent so much time living in England, experiencing something totally different to what you have in South Africa and getting paid for it eventually and having a hell of a time at Saracens, I mean, that's privilege, eh?
Yeah, I think the world's sort of grown, especially the rugby. I think there's now opportunities both UK, Ireland, Scotland, but also Japan.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, when we grew up, your sort of one trajectory was, you know, through the domestic scene, through one of your provinces or unions. And I think now people mature and age at different times in their life. So, you know, seeking other pastures shouldn't be seen as a negative.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you look at the Japanese side and you have Labuschagne playing for Japan and you have Van der Merwe playing for Scotland.
Yeah. So it's all happening. Talking about Scotland, have you guys watched the Netflix, the Six Nations?
Yes.
And?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Great. Rugby needs something like that.
Yes. Hopefully it kicks off. It's going to be, we don't know the
Six
numbers.
Six Nations,
yet.
It actually kicks off this week.
Kicks off. Yeah.
But the Netflix documentary.
Top three in Netflix over the past week.
Really?
In the UK. Yeah. And I think in the top two in France for the first week. So yeah. I think the signs are positive that they'll do a second reverse. Yeah.
And I've only watched bits. Obviously, the one that stands out is Finn Russell.
100%.
He was saying that as a joke, though. I mean, he's the Messi of Scottish rugby.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of banter going on.
Yeah, there's a bit of banter going on.
But I didn't know they had a fallout between Gregor and himself on playing.
That's the big focus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the first episode is, so I watched it with my little boy, my 11-year-old. And he's stuck to it. He doesn't want to move. And from that perspective, it's like he can be in the change room. And although there's a lot of peep going on every now and then, it is it's live and it's great. And it's you get to know the players in a different way, I guess, for the general public watching that.
The one I enjoyed the most is a sort of episode that features France and particularly sort of Gael Fiku. So a guy you've probably played, probably played against him 10, 15 times. And there's always that language barrier. So you don't really know them. You don't know the personality. But it was quite insightful to see how the French guys think. Because you hear French, but you don't necessarily know what the meaning and the expression is behind it. But super passionate. He came across fantastically. And always admired him as a player. But now I think you like the person even more, seeing the behind-the-scenes footage.
I'm going to go off script a bit here.
We had another world champion.
The other day, Dricus du Plessis. Now, I was just thinking about it. If you had to say which rugby players currently would be good MMA fighters?
From what country?
Any country.
Dwayne would have been.
Dwayne would have been a great...
Yeah. He wrestled back in his younger days.
Jasper Visser, I think, would be good.
Yeah.
We could have got you in a flyweight belt. You would have been awesome.
I want to say it, but then it's a conversation about me again.
You and Cheslin
would be a good fight.
I'm trying to think.
Artie Sevier?
I think Damien Delendi.
Yeah.
From a South African point of view, I think...
Genge would be great.
Genji?
Yeah. French team?
Who won't make it is Nick White.
He won't.
you touch him and he goes down.
He's also in your weight class. That'd be a hell of a fight.
There'll be another unexpected one. There'll be like a wiry Irishman, like a Hugo Keenan, who suddenly probably does kickboxing. And he's an absolute weapon, but you have no idea. Sometimes they come out and surprise you.
Andrew Porter, maybe?
Maybe, but then he's fighting some big blokes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
120 kegs.
No, weight divisions.
You're thinking also like a Buckies or Eben. Big boys. Yeah, it's big boys, but I mean, you know, they've got that.
There's a bit of dog there. A lot of dog.
Well, don't throw the Welsh away. In Cardiff, every night after a test match or any game, they bob and weave.
Liam Williams.
Yeah.
He could be dangerous, right? He's
who's that?
Liam Williams.
He can kick you from any place, and you won't see it coming. How about
Guido Petti? No, the other one.
The Argentinian guy gets the yellow cards.
Argentinian red card machine.
The lock.
Ugh, man.
He played for.
Think of it now.
For Tigers.
Yes. Not Guido Petti. Alemano. Yeah,
It will come somewhere along the way.
He could be good. Pablo Matera?
Yeah.
Good.
Matera is a MMA fighter?
No backline players?
No. Well, except Brad, probably.
No, man.
Do you have anger issues, man?
We had that one year at the Sharks where we did wrestling at a sort of MMA gym, and that was enough for me. Craig Burden putting me down every five seconds.
You retired straight away. Look, there is a new documentary on Rugby Pass TV, Whistleblowers, looking at the behind the scenes with the refs during the World Cup now in France, obviously. That should be good. So that comes out tomorrow on Rugby Pass TV. Just in terms of refs, guys, Jaco Paper just retired, but one of the greats in terms of refing.
Yeah, it's almost a lost generation now, eh?
Wayne Barnes gone,
and incredible referees. I mean, what they've done for the game, I think, you know, it's a tough job being a referee. I certainly never want to do that job. And it's such a pressure cooker that they need to function within. And who knows, maybe this documentary shows a little bit of insight into what they actually go through. Yeah. It's a crazy world as well.
Can you protect them with all the social media?
I don't think you can. That's what I want to get to. With social media now, anyone can just have a go at anyone. Yeah. And there's like no accountability for it. So let's see what comes from it.
Well, there actually won't be MMA in all those refs. I won't get into MMA.
Thanks for merging the two.
That's a very relevant statement.
Yeah. But Paper, great referee.
Who's the next one from South Africa?
Oof, I don't know.
Yeah, I think on that same thread, you can't help but have a lot of empathy for them, I think.
Yeah.
The way in which the sport's gone with all the technology around it, as John said, like every small decision is under a microscope. And rugby is so vague sometimes that there's no definitive right or wrong. It's a personal feel. And, you know, it's a shame that it's got to the point that it's got to, and guys are retiring because they actually are no longer enjoying the thing that they grew up doing. So.
We've all got kids that play rugby, right? Have you seen the sometimes parents behave on the side of the field?
What do you mean sometimes? I think there's not, in South Africa, and not a lot of things worse than a parent next to a sporting field.
Especially in Belgium.
This is a genuine story now.
Yeah. And people still are mind blown that this happened. I remember playing a game for Kersney against Boland Lampo. And I swear to God, we were getting shot by BB guns on the side of the pitch.
No way.
During the game, I was feeling these things hitting my leg, and they had people with BB guns. People still don't believe it.
Let's just watch the trailer, the whistleblowers, sorry, not Jacob Paper, the whistleblowers trailer on Rugby Pass TV.
How he's got this job is beyond me. You're killing rugby. We're going to slit your throat. We're going to kill your kids.
It's the pinnacle to ref a Rugby World Cup.
It's been upgraded.
To ref. Players deserve better.
We're the most hated person in the stadium.
Selection is out of your control.
He's not ready yet.
We are a massively tight group.
That's crazy.
Sit down here.
Guys, that looks very exciting. Your thoughts? I mean, you spoke about the social media pressure already. A ref straight after the game, kids reacting to, you know, what people have said or the crowd booing.
Yeah, you know, I kind of get mixed emotions on it. Because they're obviously trying to make it very emotive, and I'm sure it is. You know, you want the game of rugby to be the beautiful game of rugby, and not any of the hate and all of that that goes with it. You know, that's on the one side, and you want to be able, just like we want to protect the players, you want to be able to protect the referees as well. There is an element of accountability that goes with the refereeing as well. And I think sometimes, as players, maybe. You know, when we were still playing, when a wrong decision that was made cost us a game that eventually might have caused a player to be dropped or coach to be axed, you need to look at that as well.
Yeah.
So it kind of goes both ways, and I think that'll be the interesting thing about this documentary, to see how deep they delve and what they actually, you know, go into. But tough job.
I'm thankful, though. Very unthankful job. But on a good note, just throwing something in there.
The first time
ever, first time ever that a lady will take ownership or ref a Six Nations game this
weekend.
No, next weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember her name, but it's Scottish.
It was a great Ollie. Story.
Yeah, sorry?
Great story.
It was a great story until you got to the punchline.
Yeah. You're doing well, Scott.
We're moving
you're
forward.
You're doing well. Okay. You spend too much time in the sun or what in the morning?
No.
But also, look, you got to look at, obviously, there's the refereeing aspect, but the game's also got to attract refs. I mean, there's a part of a ref where they all want to do well because they want to get to a World Cup final, the same as players want to do. I think Paper said it out. Look, I might be misquoted here, but I think he said he thanks rugby for all the opportunities it's given him, the travel, you know, the ability to mix with people.
Yeah, see the world.
It's put his name on the world stage also. So there is a lot that happens for refs out of rugby. No,
I don't think we're helping them either by changing the laws of the game on a yearly basis. You know, I mean,
it's hard enough playing sometimes.
Yeah.
With the law changes and you're actually looking at each other wondering, is that the right call? I actually don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's an individual and parent responsibility. If you want to think about rugby in 20 years' time, it's people with young kids now and how you conduct yourself in front of a TV and how you react to things. And kids are intuitive. They learn from their parents. So the people abusing people on Twitter now, or on X, whatever we call it, is a result of what they've heard amongst the people they look up to. So, you know, everyone can take that accountability and help move it forward.
Well done.
Okay, cool. Let's go.
Well done for giving the refs their time in the light.
Exactly. Okay, let's talk Six Nations.
Okay, let's do it.
Marseille, Ireland and France. The final that never was.
I think after week one of Six Nations, we'll have a pretty good indication as to who's going to win the Six Nations.
So?
I think it's going to be dependent.
That's a big
I think it's dependent on that first game.
Okay, okay.
France,
so what
Ireland.
About England, Scotland, Wales?
I think they've got a... I don't think Wales have got a shot at it.
They've got the worst group, though.
Yeah. DuPont out, eh?
Do they have groups in Six Nations this year?
Squad.
As amazing as DuPont is, for me, I think when we talk about those two being the front runners, the loss of Johnny Sexton and the incumbent having to fill huge shoes.
Yeah.
So I think
not
only his playing capacity, I think the intellectual property he brings to the team and making them function. I think whoever's coming in now is going to be thought of in the same light, but they're not necessarily going to have the same gravitas that he has. So
that would be Crawley, interesting to
see how they play. Yeah, I've been impressed with Jack Crawley in what he's done for Munster in pressure situations, probably a previous season more than now. And I just don't think that, I think Sexton's effect was huge for the Irish, just the way that he makes the players around him play better as well. But that's one play out, and I think it's such a good environment that they'll be able to get through that. Whereas from a France point of view, it's not just Dupont. It's Dupont and still no Intermac and Geelong out, and I think one or two Geelong. Others. One or two others as well. Lock for...
Thibaut Flamand.
Thibaut Flamand out as well. And a couple of others. So, suddenly it's 4-5 guys. Yeah. That's very influential.
Key players.
I think what
Key
is exciting players. For them, Jalibert for me is a fantastic
Great
player.
Yeah.
The whole World Cup, Ramos he was paired with half. Someone he doesn't play with week in, week out.
Yeah.
With Dupont obviously sitting out, he's going to be partnered with Luku. And that Bordeaux team have been on fire this year.
Yeah.
I mean... We watched our Saris team away in Bordeaux, and it really
the
was.
Hammered Saris,
they were on
amazing.
Fire.
And then you take Toulouse.
Yeah.
That I think it's going to be very difficult to beat any team to beat them, even though Bath kind of pushed
Bath,
them. But then it's difficult to see France losing. I'm just thinking the Irish.
France and Marseille is a problem. They're hard.
Yeah, but
that crowd. We've been there. That crowd. The whole atmosphere there. That is probably the hardest start Ireland would have there. I mean, Ireland have won up in Paris, but in Marseille, it's just a different world there.
Different.
It's a different world there. Tell me, Omani, Irish captain. Would you have gone with that?
Who else?
Doris? Ryan?
I think he's the one for the future.
Yeah.
I think Caelan Doris is the one for the future. Yeah.
But from what I hear, Omani doesn't even have a contract he's negotiating his contract.
Yeah, well, with
Munster.
So
central contract system.
Yeah, you need to understand the firstly the Irish contracting system, and with Munster, they're not getting value out of him. They're probably paying him big bucks, but not getting value from him because he's never playing for them, either through injury or when he's playing with Ireland, so that's kind of understandable. I don't think that's a reflection on where he is in the pecking order in terms of selection for Ireland. So it's interesting. I think it's probably a stopgap for now for them, just to stabilize after, call it a disappointing World Cup for Ireland because they didn't go probably where they should have. But for the future, I think Caelan Doris will be the guy that kind of takes over.
And the reason I respect the decision is because sometimes people make a decision for what may be the best in 4 years' time. I think you also have to look at the here and now. And if he's overwhelmingly the best guy to be the captain for this year at least, you should go with it. He's maybe worked for 15 years in Irish rugby, never been given that opportunity. So why not give him a shot if he's overwhelmingly the best candidate?
And
if you're going to make changes, I think 2 years out of a World Cup's fair.
Yeah.
You say 4 years, and the whole 4 year cycle narrative. I mean, do you start now for the next World Cup, or do you say, listen, these guys are still, Omani's probably got another 2 years in an Irish jersey, then you can start looking past
off the Lions.
You're after the Lions.
Yeah.
For example, okay.
On the Lions, what I wanted to say now. Remember, Pete captained the Lions to a win in New Zealand.
First test match.
The first test match. So, in terms of the credibility of the captain, he'd be a very respected guy within that environment. And you probably...
Love your Munster boys.
he
loves his Munster boys.
You probably need to go and say that whoever comes after Sexton is probably doomed.
Yeah.
Because of coming from such an inspirational guy. So... stopgap, and then you give the guy that'll take over long term.
I think it's also insight into Northern Hemisphere rugby. I think that the thing that always blew my mind is how well revered that Six Nations tournament is.
Yeah.
Even looking from an England perspective, I think the average crowd attendance for a premiership game on TV is around 400,000. Where you go to a Six Nation, you've got 10, 12 million people tuning in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's guys who support rugby, but the Six Nations is almost blocked out in every household's calendar. It's the one time of year, everyone focuses on rugby, there's no distraction. And similar in Ireland and France, so as well as Wales. I think you also have to see the the gravitas that they give to the Six Nations, and that's why it's a good decision to think about this one in its entirety.
Okay. Brad, and if you had to ask an Irishman now, win the Six Nations or beat South Africa here later on in the mid-year tour, what would they choose if they had to pick one or the other?
Ooh. Genuinely, I mean, I think they would say the Six Nations.
Yeah.
That's how important it is to them.
Skylar, what do you think?
I think because a test series is different, right? I think if you're getting a Grand Slam championship, for them, it would be different.
Something
to
they've
a
never
test
done
series.
Before. They've never won in South Africa. Something they've never, ever done before.
A series.
Yeah.
It's hard
yeah.
to compare. I think that's probably the honest answer. But I think the time of year to the Irish public, it's when everyone's watching rugby. Yeah. So it means a lot to them.
I don't think they'll ever put those two up against each other. It'll be a combination of both.
Yeah.
You know, it's not one or the other.
I would say both.
Both.
No Owen Farrell, boys.
Well, not just no Owen Farrell. I mean, of the captains of last year's Six Nations, only one left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only Lamara.
We'll get to the other captains.
Okay, sorry.
And I believe it's no Marcus Smith either.
Yeah, you got it on Monday.
So, yeah, that's an interesting decision, Arka. I guess the young guy, Finn Smith's been on fire for Northampton.
Yeah, it's been good.
George Ford is obviously a well-experienced player, and he's done the job for many years. It's
but
whether
also
this
still
is
injured.
The opportunity. Yeah, well, carrying an injury too. Yeah.
Well, the kind of rugby that Borthwick wants to play, though, I mean, is it suited for a Marcus Smith, or do England evolve? Can they innovate?
I think they have
Well, the foundations are clearly there. I mean,
Sorry to interrupt, but the chat was pre-World Cup. What can we... His change around time was very short. So what can I focus on? Set piece, kicking game, defence. And he says, that is what I'm going to do. And after the World Cup, the idea was then to be more creative from an attacking perspective, be more...
Add some layers to their play.
I suppose the lesson to learn there is England, they were boring during the World Cup, but it almost took them to a World Cup final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you need to do. You need to win games.
Just win games, yeah.
They found a way to win. And certainly George Ford had a massive part to play in that after that first game against Argentina. And then, you know, I think if anything, it probably made Owen Farrell better by sitting out and having to watch all of that play down. And then when he came into control of that group again, and I'm still trying to figure out how South Africa won that semi-final. But we found a way. And England did the same throughout the tournament, except for that game. So I think we'll see a different England. Northampton's been really good.
Yeah.
Exeter's managed to have a really good season with a young squad.
But Northampton's also, I mean, it's a group of youngsters. I think Chris Boyd picked 3-4 years ago, and you can see now they're a little bit older. That team stuck together, and they actually play a bloody good brand of rugby.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'm always conscious of is the amount of contact, the amount of the hardness of the premiership. Yes, you can compare it to, let's say, the top 14, but compared to the URC, it feels like those boys play week in and week out, the
never
whole
ending,
squad every weekend to try to make the top six or run into the, to get in the top six of the premiership. And for that, it felt they've had a lot of injuries.
It's not hard now. There's only 6 out of 10. So it's
not
as difficult as it was a few years ago.
Stop living in the past.
Yeah. Skylar, you asked us to talk about the new captain. You said you mentored him. That's why he's England captain now, Jamie George.
Oh, we both mentored him.
No. You said specifically Brad Shamblair late.
No,
you said
please
talk about Jamie George. I mentored him at Saracens.
You had the ability to bring it back to you.
You made him England captain.
I think Jamie is the best man for the job.
Yeah.
I would say the way his EQ is, his emotional intelligence, how he runs, how he plays, and he's probably one of the players that would, if fit, play every weekend and most of the minutes as well. So from that perspective, I think it's an excellent choice to be captain. I think he's learned a lot under Owen. I think he's got a great relationship with Steve. And so I think he's going to do wonders for England. And he can manage the refs, talking about refs. He can manage him extremely well.
Good off the field?
He's amazing.
World class. No, I agree completely. He's especially at this starting point of the Six Nations. Obviously, it's a refreshed England. There's a lot of new players, I think. He's someone that has a great relationships with young, old, experience, inexperience. And he sort of resonates across a broad sector of personality types. So I think he's going to be an amazing captain. He's served his apprenticeship under Owen for a long period of time. And people always try to compare people. The reality with captaincy, there's no right or wrong.
Yeah.
A certain person has a style and that can be successful, and Jamie has a very different style, which can also be successful.
But give us some insight into the things that Jamie George would not want the public to know.
I think, Sean, there is so many, from trips to Verbier, to Mabea, to Munich Beer Festival.
When did you guys play rugby at Saracens with all these trips?
We actually, one year...
Did you guys actually train?
One year we didn't have our own field.
Yeah, we played an away fixture every week.
Every week.
Yeah.
We even played at Milton Keynes against Northampton, which was effectively our home game.
Yeah,
which is far closer to them.
Yeah, it's on their back door. No, Jamie, I think he's a very well-rounded person. I said he's diligent, he works hard, but equally so, he knows how to enjoy himself. He knows how to enjoy himself.
Well-rounded. Yes. Different to Shimmy's well-rounded.
He's super good. Look at him. Maybe the one that he won't be happy. There's a few pictures of him without a shirt back in the early 2012, 2013.
Could you share that?
And a special folder.
What happened? Talking about the ex-captain, Ewan Farrell, and your eyesight or something like that. What happened there?
I almost went blind, yeah.
What's the story there?
It was when we came to South Africa in 2012. And I think if I'd expected someone to poke my eye, it was probably one of the South African guys. But I think it was only after sort of 15 minutes and we both went to tackle someone. And complete sort of freak incident, he wrapped his arm around one end and my head was on the other end and his finger went straight into my eye and was called a lacerated eyeball. And it missed my retina by 0.3 of a millimeter. So I lived to tell the tale. Had 13 stitches across the white bit of my eyeball. Sort of dark room for 2 weeks. I actually ended up managing to get on the bench. I think it was 2 weeks later for the final test.
Where was the final test again?
In PE.
Where did you? Was it that tour that you scored that long in Bloem? There's a test in Bloem.
No, that was 2007.
Yeah.
No, that was the massacre in 2007. Okay. Yeah.
Can you remember the story with Eddie Jones and Jamie George about losing weight? We said, mate, what the were you doing, mate? It was just after June. Training camp.
It's great. It's again sounds like a great story, Scala.
You try hard, yeah, Scala.
But I'm just not the. The delivery and punchline is...
Going back, playing with Butch, Monty, John at the Sharks as a youngster, how was that?
That was awesome, yeah. I mean, there's a funny photo where Percy and I share. There was, I think, playing primary school Craven Week. I think I was 11 or 12, and I had a photo with Percy at the Sharks outer fields. So I think it made him feel very old. But you know, that's the great thing about rugby. You eventually get there yourself.
Yeah.
So in the blink of an eye, you go from being one of the young guns to you being one of the aged veterans. So, yeah, it was special times. I think was hugely positive for me to be in such a welcoming and open environment. And that was led by Dick Muir. I think you guys have all been coached by him. He's a wonderful guy, creating culture, creating environment. And as a younger player coming into the professional ranks, was very lucky with timing.
Yeah. You were still playing a lot at 10 then.
Yeah, I think there was that sort of transition period. Butch got a really bad injury. I had actually never really played 10. I'd probably played a couple games at school. And Dick just decided it would be a good idea. So you kind of...
You'd have been about 20 years old then, isn't it? 19, 20.
19, yeah.
Yeah.
And Tony Brown came for a great season. And actually you see news... Tony Brown might be joining the Springboks. I mean, what an acquisition that would be.
I think it's great
to talk about.
And he was amazing. I mean, a guy to learn from, still to date, probably the best pass I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was just on a sixpence every single time.
With those hands.
Let's move on from England.
We're not going to talk about Tony Brown.
No. Okay, talk about Tony Brown.
He played with him.
That's
an amazing coup.
I think if the box get that right, if you think... Tony Brown played, started in the mid-90s, playing Super Rugby and International Rugby, went all the way through, finished at about 2010, call it, and then went straight into coaching, coached in Japan, coached the Highlanders, coached throughout the world.
He was coaching, was with the Stormers, he used to go look after the Vodacom Cup.
So he's got 35 years of IP and experience at the highest level rugby that he can fall back on. I'll bring that to the box if that is the case.
I think, John, what also makes him good, if you look at the team, he always coached sort of underdog teams. You look at the Highlanders, that 2015 that won Super Rugby. No one thought they'd win it. Yeah. Look what he did with Japan. Now you give him a team with a Springbok pack with a lot of talent. It would be exciting. You know, I think the opportunity to see what he can do with that back line, that will absolutely love what he can do. So it's going to be fantastic.
And also, like,
if it's true.
Yeah, if it's true. Yeah. And then people will also say, yeah, but how is Tony Brown going to fit into the Springbok setup?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But then you say, okay, well, he played for the Stormers in 2008. Can you remember who the coach was?
Rasmus.
At the Stormers, Rassie
Rasmus. We were quite surprised when he pitched up there, right?
And he was amazing.
It was like, he was amazing.
He was amazing.
He couldn't sit on a chair during any of the meetings as you lie on the floor.
I remember my first tour just sort of gave you a sense of who the man was in Dunedin. First overseas tour, we played the Highlanders away, and then I think we're on a sort of night out. And it was just sort of follow the leader. Tony Brown trotted along, and just at any given point, he just walked into a house, meted with huge smiles. Oh, Tony Brown's come for a pot. And you sit around with the students in their lounge, had a beer, and we just carried on continuing all the way until we got to the actual place. So absolute hero in Dunedin.
Fantastic guy. And Jerry Flannery.
We'll get him on the box office.
Jerry Flannery, the other one that's linked to the box.
He worked with Rassie at Munster, am I right?
Correct.
Yeah, so there's a bit of history there.
And
also
then went to Quinns from there. So also.
Yeah, I assume Flannery will be defense coach.
Yes, that's the talk.
Yeah, and probably a bit of breakdown too or something.
Yeah, you know, we're making a lot of assumptions here, but
I would have thought they will bring in Dwayne.
Yeah.
I mean, he was helping out Jockey, understands it 100%. Maybe.
So it could be the three of them.
The one thing that is hard for, I guess, for any player to move over to coach is actually the relationships with the players.
Yeah, the immediate
transition from being player to coach and telling Yevon what to do or Hunter what to do. I think that is tricky.
Weren't you coaching 2019 World Cup?
Who?
You.
I was a bag carrier.
Andy Farrell did it very successfully. So he went first year, retired straight into a skills coach role at Saracens.
Yeah.
But I think it's sometimes with coaching, you just have to park the ego, right, and almost start a relationship from fresh. You can't assume those same relationships are going to be the same ones you had last year because you're in a different role. Yeah. So he managed that transition super well.
John, you're seeing a lot of you on TV lately.
Every day, every weekend.
Every day. In my life.
So just for the
record. You're talking about limelight.
I've only been to the Paul Royals home games. Okay.
Yeah.
And there's been four.
You're on a T20 show now, a cricket show. Am I right? And you're on box office.
No, it's not.
And you're on Friday on Talks and Chops. And
no, I'm not.
And you're on Super Rugby on a Monday.
So where did you see me?
You're doing a lot. I'm just saying limelight. No, Farrell doesn't like the limelight.
I'm trying to make a living.
The opposite.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a living. Yeah.
No, trying to put a roof over his head, bread on the table.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just like all of us.
The question is,
I love watching you.
I'm not the guy that sold my son to go to Bishop's after I got an education at Ronnebosch. I stick loyal to my people. Okay. And Paul is my team. That's where I grew up. That's where I live. So I support them.
Yeah, rugby player on a cricket show.
And I give them as much as I can.
A rugby player on a cricket show.
I can't help that SuperSport asked me to come onto the show.
Okay, they asked you.
Yeah.
They asked you.
The word no doesn't exist.
Talking about doing what's good for you, Lewis Zammit.
Yes.
NFL, Scala.
Talk about you.
Lewis Zammit going to NFL.
Great. He's in the training squad, isn't he? There's like the trials and it's...
That was a bombshell.
I've read about it.
What team is he with?
So I don't know what NFL team, but I've heard he said to... It was a night before selection.
To Gatlin.
To Gatlin, he said, listen, I'm out of here. But fair play, well done.
Mm.
Chasing the dream.
Yeah, bowl, and Malinga. Yeah. Malinga is going...
the kicker.
The Harry, kicker that played in Japan.
Yeah.
So I do actually know that. But it is...
Which rugby player has... I mean...
Christian Wade went.
But Aidan Smith went, Saracen's boy.
So a teammate of ours, I think the insight that we've got from it, obviously Hayden was a great friend. Mm. You know, you can have all the physical components, but I think you don't realise the study that goes behind it.
I understand.
Their playbook is like 250 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get an opportunity once a day to actually have the ball thrown to you. And if you've done the wrong thing, you're completely thrown out. So Lewis Zammit is an amazing athlete. It's actually, can you put in the time and effort to learn a new craft and learn the routes that he has to run?
You know, he wouldn't be able to make that kind of money in rugby if he plays another 15 years.
Mm.
And that will, yeah, let's say he does 2 years in the NFL, you know, playing. So, I mean, give it a red hot go.
Not happy. Okay, let's talk about Wales.
But is Wales, he happy? Wales. Money doesn't buy you happiness, no, Jimmy. Doesn't.
Is he really what, happy? That's why John is doing every engagement he can possibly get.
Yeah. Scully, you're trying harder.
I'm just going to keep quiet.
Wales, it's obviously, I mean, I think the 21-year-old captain is a Jenkins.
Defer Jenkins.
Again, a young squad. The provincial team's not going so well. But Wales have got this knack of delivering. You know, can they, you know, possibly be the surprise package again?
I think Gatland has such a great understanding of the Welsh psyche. I think sometimes what's on paper is never really what you expect. Mm. I think they're greater than the sum of their parts. I think he'll find a way. You saw in the World Cup, no one expected anything of them and actually performed probably head and shoulders above where they were expected. So I think he's an experienced campaigner and he will make sure he brings the best out of that 15 that run onto the pitch at any given time.
I think it's
Well, they start with Scotland this weekend.
Yeah, but also it's kind of the trend. Kind of the trend for the podcast today, I think. Like the leaders or the leader that they've lost in Wales, in Jack Morgan, I think he was quite inspirational. He made a massive difference to their World Cup campaign. Yeah. He's out now as well. Now
Basham's around.
You replace him with a very, very young captain, 15-odd caps. And the team needs to get behind him. Also, no Dan Bigger, no other experienced guys that's also gone. So it's easy being...
This is a new cycle.
It's never easy, but it's easier being a young captain when you've got experienced guys around you. When you're a young captain and you've got inexperience around you, now you're playing against, world-class teams, that stuff.
You go down the first game, you're sitting in the change room, you're 21 years old, you've lost at home, the crowd's booing you, you don't have the experience.
Much momentum at Six Nations.
I think if they can get momentum, and they could be pretty hard to stop. Scotland 16-1 to win the Six Nations, great back line. Two teams, you sort of got a clear identity. If you look at all the teams, you're not sure what Borthwick will bring with sort of England's Ireland. You know, they've got a clear way of playing. France without DuPont, will they be different? But the Scots have got a clear way of playing other Gregor Townsend. How do you think they'll go?
And Finn.
I think Finn Russell more important than Gregor Townsend.
It's more important.
I think so. I think what we've seen at Bath and the way that... Yes, credit to the coaching staff, Johan van Gron and the guys at Bath, and they've given him the kind of freedom to play the way that he wants to play and say, okay, you are main man, let's build the game around you. Mm. And he is just that kind of guy that can open up any defence in world rugby.
And his defence has been really phenomenal. Good,
What was it, the Exeter game?
Yeah.
We were smashing the guys.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my goodness.
So now if you have the same, he's been made captain, co-captain of Scotland. If you give him that freedom and they really build a game plan around that, that's also a team. If they get momentum, I think they could be really dangerous.
Plus Tupulito, Hugh Jones, Fanamova, I think Reid, the sale wing might be there. Kinghorn's doing well for
Staines. Kinghorn's doing really well.
Kinghorn's doing well for them Scotland.
They need parity up front to allow those exciting players to play. Yeah. So I think Scotland on their day can beat anyone. But then to expect that forward pack to match up to France, Ireland and England in every single week is the challenge for them. I think they've lost Weepy now.
Who's Weepy?
Yeah. Weepy? Yeah.
W-E-P.
Are you back in South Africa?
Yeah. And I think for them, it's the challenge of being able to, you know, compete up front every single week.
And that was the surprise. Surprise at the World Cup. That first game against South Africa, they fronted up for 60 minutes. Yeah. And I was very surprised with the physicality of the Scottish forwards. But like you said, you need to do that, you know, a couple of weeks in a row.
For both of you, there was...
And they fell apart against Ireland.
Yeah.
That was the worst game of the World Cup.
Yeah.
Why are you shouting? I mean, it's not my fault. Aggressive. Why are you... Should be you need to
oh, you jumped on the genre bandwagon.
Yeah, 100 now. I'm changing direction.
You're changing direction.
All my arrows.
The relationship between Finn Russell and Gregor Townsend.
You didn't go to Bishop.
Is that...
Just relax.
Okay, I'm very relaxed. The relationship between Gregor and Finn Russell. How important is that? Do they have to get along?
I think so. For a team to be successful, I mean, these guys have captain as well. The coach-captain relationship needs to be a stable one. You don't have to like each other, but it needs to be stable. And I think for that environment, that'll be very important because you can easily otherwise just divide.
Brad, you were with Eddie during his England...
Initially with Saracens. So just quickly on Scotland thing, I think.
That's weird.
The Netflix first episode.
You even said that with a Scottish accent.
Yeah. Gives great insight. As in, it shows that a relationship's never dead if both people are willing to accept and move on.
Yeah.
And I think Gregor Townsend comes across fantastically because he shows humility of understanding that he may have managed him wrong during that period and is able to sort of transform that relationship and giving him a little bit more authority. And it's been hugely prosperous for them. So
why would he?
Most head coaches are so hard-headed. Sometimes they commit to something, and they almost feel that trying to change it's an indictment on their character.
It shows weakness.
It shows weakness. Where I think Greg has sort of showed humility in being able to change his approach.
France versus Ireland in France in Marseille. France. Scarlett?
France.
I want to go Ireland, just to be different.
Or Ireland. Munster boy.
Okay, Italy versus England. That's in Italy, obviously.
England.
I'm going to England.
Wales versus Scotland.
Scotland.
Where is it?
In Cardiff.
I'm
going to try upset.
Traditionally, Scotland have never won that one.
Yeah. They've never won a World Cup.
Who?
I've got a feeling.
Scotland won a World Cup.
What
oh, not a World Cup. Scotland ever won a Six Nations?
Yeah, 1999.
Did they?
Mm. Yeah, but a long time ago.
A long time ago. I've got a feeling Wales, there's low expectation that actually may galvanise them.
Is that couch too comfortable for
you? We took Scala.
Remember the day Gavin Hastings, Scott Hastings in the glory days? Scotland were...
Final standings, you go towards the end of the Six Nations. Who do you think is going to be top?
Well, seeing that I went for Ireland to win, to beat France, which again, the French teams are playing so well.
Yeah.
Jeez, they've got forwards, though. They've got so much power.
I know.
And a French team in the mood. You just saw this young Tuilagi now that's been called up.
Yeah.
I mean, 140 kilograms, runs over everyone. You know, you've got Mufana, Toulouse now, the big lock. Also, I think another Will Skelton. You know, they've just got too much power. Aldred, captain, Antonio, those two guys, they've already got 300 kilograms and two players.
That's huge. So, and that's why I'm going Ireland.
Okay. So, Ireland, okay. Second?
France,
okay. I agree with you there. Third?
I'm going
England.
France, England, Ireland.
Same, yeah.
England are playing Wales France, and Ireland England, at home Ireland. This year. I think Ireland obviously have a very difficult start playing away in France, and then they have to play England at Twickenham. England had a few fixtures to find their feet. They drew one big performance, and that might be the one.
Can I change?
Do you reckon England can win the World Cup?
World Cup's in 4 years.
Okay, give us your predictions for World Cup 2027. Who are you going for? You going
Australia.
For the World Cup? Yes, it is in Australia.
Yeah, Josh Smith's taking over.
Okay. Do you think Australia can win the Six Nations?
No. South Africa in a couple of years.
Thanks, boys. Goodness. Brad, thank you very much. Scala, thanks.
Scotland, couple of upsets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Scotland, couple of upsets. Wales, well, you know what they can do if they get on a bit of a roll. So it's going to be a great Six Nations. Round one is coming up this weekend. We'll catch up with you next week and discuss more around Six Nations rugby. The box office is now closed.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be.
Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.